beginning reading in verse 11 and going down through verse number 25. And the word of the Lord says, "Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, that continue until night, till wine inflame them. And the harp and the vial, the tabret and pipe and wine are in their feasts, but they regard not the work of the Lord, neither consider the operation of His hands. Therefore my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge." Boy, you could preach right there, couldn't you? Just on that one phrase. People are enslaved. They're in captivity. They, my friend, find themselves in bondage because they have no knowledge. So it is with people today. They're in bondage to the flesh, the world, the devil, to sin, because they have no knowledge. They're ignorant of the things of God. Therefore, it behooves us to preach and to teach the truths of the Word of the Lord. And it behooves you to receive those truths that you might be free from the chains of this world. Now, the Scripture said they go into captivity because they have no knowledge. Verse 13, "And their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. Therefore, hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it. And the mean man shall be brought low, and the mighty man shall be humbled, and the eyes of the lofty shall be humbled. But the Lord of hosts shall be exalted in judgment, and God that is holy shall be sanctified in righteousness." Judgment exalts the Lord because it shows us Him as holy and all others as unholy. And in verse 17, "Then shall the lambs feed after their manner." Now notice all the judgment. You notice all the judgment that we've seen to this point in the Scripture. All the fierceness of the wrath of the anger of God. But is a real change in verse 17, isn't there? "Then shall the lambs feed after their manner." His treatment toward those who have rebelled against Him is altogether different than what it is toward the lambs. Amen. And He's a feeding them, and being that He's a judge of the sinner, He's the shepherd of the sheep. Amen. "And the waste places of the fat ones shall strangers eat. Woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity, as and sin, as it were, with a cart rope, that say, let him make speed and hasten his work, that we may see it. And let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw nigh and come, that we may know it." They're mocking and saying the judgment of God will never come. We've been heard, we've preached this all our lives, we've heard this all our lives, and God ain't never going to judge. And He says, "Woe unto that crowd that's mocking the judgment of the Lord." Verse 20, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." Brother, that is America. Everything that's good is bad, and everything that's bad is good, and the whole world is turned up on its ear, brother. Verse 21, "Woe unto them that are wise in their own conceit and prudent in their own eyes." That's that prideful spirit. "Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine, and men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for reward, and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Therefore, as the fire devoureth the stubble, and the flame consumeth the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness, and their blossoms shall go up as dust, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts, and despise the word of the Holy One of Israel. Therefore is the anger of the Lord kindled against this people, and he hath stretched forth his hand against them, and hath smitten them, and the hills did tremble, and their carcasses were torn in the midst of the streets. For all of this his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still." You can be seated. Thank you for standing with us while we're in the Word of the Lord. Now, this chapter of the Word of God begins with Isaiah telling a song that the Lord is singing to the people of Israel about His well-beloved, of the vineyard of the house of God. In this vineyard, the Scripture says, He did all the right things. He pulled out the rocks, He plowed the fields, and He sowed in the vineyards. He pruned the vines when the right time came. And yet, though He did everything right, His vineyard did not bring forth grapes, but it brought forth wild grapes. And He said, "What more could I have done than what I have done? I tell you what I'll do. I'll plow under my vineyard. I'll destroy this vineyard because it has not responded to my care and my touch." And then he begins in verse number 11 with the woes of Isaiah chapter 5.
woe unto them, woe unto them, woe be unto them. And six times in this chapter, the word woe is used. And this word woe is a word of judgment, friend. It's used some 21 times in the book of Isaiah in total, and is recorded 106 times in your King James Bible altogether. And now, my friend, it is a word of judgment. It is a warning word. It is a mournful word. In total, there are 7 Hebrew words translated in your Bible as woe, and there is 1 Greek word. Their meanings are to cry out. My friend, their meaning is a lamentation, to bewail, to moan from the depth of the soul, a prolonged wail, a lament of judgment, the deepest expression of grief over the judgment of God. I'll say, if you read the scriptures from beginning to end, you'll find the men of God, all the real men of God, preaching of messages and sermons of woe. That's exactly right. The judgment of God in Revelation, or stated to be in Revelation 8 and 13, woe, woe, woe. And so it is, my friend. The judgment of God is real. And now listen, my dead granddaddy preached one time back about 15 years ago on our kind of lifestyle, but God's kind of judgment. And that's the way it'll be. You may live however you want to live, but you're going to answer before the Lord in the judgment. Amen. And the shitty old way might do to live by, but the shitty old way won't do to die by, and the shitty old way will surely not do to meet God, my friend. And the judgment of God is a woe, friend. And now listen, hey, it amazes me, even a dumb old mule knows what the word woe means, doesn't it? Amen. You can hook an old stupid mule or some old time a donkey to a cart and holler woe, and he knows what woe means. A man can have a pack of dogs pulling a dog sled, and the dumb dogs know what woe means, and you holler woe and they stop, don't they? You know why? Because if they don't stop, there's some danger waiting for them. There's some trouble waiting for them. That trouble might be that the fellow driving the car is going to beat the devil out of them. And that danger might be that if they don't stop, they're going to have a wreck somewhere or another. But somehow, my friend, as human beings with mind to drive a car and own houses and work jobs, and we think we're advanced beyond the animals, and yet, my friend, the man of God preaches woe, woe, woe. He sees you in sin and cries woe. He sees you on the brink of disaster and cries woe. He sees your family in trouble and cries woe. And yet we just keep on going and just keep on living, just keep on doing. But the Word of God is a warning book, and it tells us of the woe that God has sent our way. And the man of God is to preach the woes of the Scriptures. It's part of the warning ministry of the man of God. We're to preach the woes of the Bible. The man of God has a ministry in warning sinners of woe. This is what the King James Bible says. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. For it is time that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it begin at us, what shall the end of them be that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarce be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Oh, it's time we preach the judgment at the house of God. Ezekiel chapter 2 and verse 9, and going through chapter 3, said, and when I looked, behold, a hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was therein. And he spread it before me, and it was written within and without. And there was written therein lamentations and mourning and woe. And moreover, he said unto me, son of man, eat thou, thou findest, eat this roll, and go speak in the house of Israel. So open my mouth, and he called me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then I did eat it. And it was in my mouth this honey for sweetness, my friend. And listen, Ezekiel's message from God, he said, was lamentations, mourning, and woe. You watch out for that devil that never preaches on judgment, that never preaches on sin. He does not care for your soul. But the Bible's message that flows from the hand of the Lord is one that's filled with lamentations and mournings and woe. Now, these woes are not sent to depress us. They're sent to instruct us and to teach us and to help us to live a life of victory. You see, friend, if you never preach on woe, your folks will come to the place situation they think that they're supposed to be able to do everything and still enjoy God and still enjoy victory. And then they spend their lives depressed, beating themselves up and wondering, I must surely be wicked. I must surely be mad because I'm living in defeat. When the reality is that the Bible tells us that some things will bring woe, some things will bring defeat, and some things will bring depression. Live in the victory. Live in the help that there's found in God. And if you're going to do that, you've got to know what to avoid. And that's why we preach on woe. Amen. All right. This is about as sound a sermon now, biblically, as I've ever preached. Maybe it ain't necessarily what you wanted to hear this morning. And it's not the kind of thing that makes everybody walk upside down in the ceiling. But I'm telling you, it's still right. So you stay with me and help me out now. And now listen to what the Scripture said in Isaiah chapter 57, verse number 20. But the wicked are as the troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. So what are we to do? Chapter 58, verse 1. Cry aloud, spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show thy people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. That's what you got to do if you want to keep people from living a life of trouble and heartache and difficulty. You got to cry out against sin. Cry out of the woes of the Bible. Amen. All right. So we have an obligation to preach and teach the woes of the Scripture. And I can't preach them all to you today, but I hope I can deliver to you some woes that will cause you to seek God greater today than ever before. I've got about 25 or 30 I'm going to hit real fast and we'll close them out. Amen. All right. Let's say first of all, there is the woe of contention. Isaiah chapter 45, verse number 9, the Scripture says, woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say unto him that casteth it, what makest thou? Or that thy work he hath no hands. Woe unto him that striveth with his maker. This is dealing with this woe of contention, this woe of rebellion, this woe of contentious and difficult spirit. I tell you, rebellion is as unto the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness as unto idolatry. My daddy used to say something that ain't in the Bible, but it wouldn't hurt the Bible to put it in there. He said, hell, hard heads make sore places. Amen. I'm a telling you, woe be unto the man that gets rebellious or strives in contention with his nature. Proverbs 29:1 said, he that being often reproved and hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and is that without remedy. There is a woe unto rebellion. And the reason why folks are going to hell today is because of a rebellious spirit against the Spirit of God. The reason why homes are in trouble and families are in divorce and churches are split is because of rebellion and contention and strife. And my friend, that is judgment on the rebellious heart. Amen. You need to have a cooperative spirit with God, a cooperative spirit with the Holy Ghost, a cooperative spirit with the man of God, the message of God, the things of God. There's woe for contention. I told you I had a lot of them. I'm not parking any of them. Just want to give you some help here this morning. Might ought to make good notes, get you a long pencil and a long page. Amen. Now, look, friend, not only want to talk about the woe of contention, but secondly this morning, the woe of counterfeit religion. The woe of counterfeit religion. Matthew chapter number 20. Matthew chapter number 23 and verse number 13. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you set up the kingdom of heaven against men, neither ye go in yourselves, neither suffer them, ye them that are entering to go in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you devour widows' houses and break a pretense for long prayers. Therefore you shall receive the greater damnation. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you can pass sea and land to make one proselyte. You know what a proselyte is, don't you? It's somebody you can convince to agree with you intellectually about religious things. Having said you've made a proselyte, you've got them to agree with you intellectually about religious things. And when you get done with them, he said, you made of them a twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees! Woe unto you, you blind
some guys would say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it's nothing. But whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he's a debtor. He said, you made more of the money than what you have to worship at the house of God. Woe unto you. There's a day when Peter and James, or rather Peter and John said, silver and gold have a none. That's such as I have, you might be. We're living in a church age where the church has silver and gold. But we don't have the such as I have. We don't have the anointing. And my friend, religion, it's not about fine buildings and a big mountain of worship and pretty statues. I tell you, it's about God and His moving among the people. And most of our generation has a counterfeit.
Amen. Verse number 27 of that same chapter, Matthew 23, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, you outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous, and say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore, be witnesses unto yourselves, that you're the children of them which killed the prophets, filling up then the measure of your bodies, your serpents, your generation of vipers. How can you escape the damnation of hell? I'm telling you, he said, you've come to worship the dead instead of the living God. You've come to worship traditions. You've come to worship what used to be, and there's no more. You worship the tree that your granddaddy planted in the church side, or the piano that so-and-so donated, or the pastor that used to pastor the church. And you stay in the dead church because Papa is dead out back. He said, well, be unto you when you come to recognize traditions are more than the truth. I think we're living in a world of religion, of counterfeits. Religion, my friend, is based on fables. But the Word of God teaches us that it's a hard matter between man and God.
Amen. Everybody still with me this morning? We just get started good now. Amen. My friend Walter said, your share comes up in my pocket. I got some preaching to do. Amen. Well. And now listen to what the scripture said in Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 19. Woe unto him that saith to the wood, awake, and to the dumb stone, arise, it shall teach. Behold, it is later with gold and silver, and there's no breath at all in the midst of it. I think of a world that's a serving dead gods, whether it be materialism or idols, my friend, or tradition. It may, my friend, have some image to them, but it doesn't have any breath. It doesn't have any life. It doesn't have any spirit. And they that worship me, Jesus said, must worship in spirit and in truth. I'm not interested in a dead preacher that come to church in. Brother, we got all kind of truth, but no spirit. That's not God. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. There'll be spirit and truth.
It's not just enough to have all the right answers. That's counterfeit religion. You've got to have God. You've got to have God. Otherwise, all we're doing this morning is making proselytes. Getting people intellectually to agree with our religious position. And he said in the scripture we read just a minute ago, then you make a twofold more a child of hell than yourself. Micah chapter number 6, and you can't say no sinners, by the way. I have a lot of times asked me if I go preach a Bible, come back and say, how many did you save this week? My Lord, I've been preaching now for 18 years, and I had never saved nobody. Amen, that's right. And you don't want to save nobody either. That's God's territory. He's the only one who does the saving. Amen. Micah chapter number 6. What is it? How do you worship God? What's real religion? What's true? Micah chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. Wherewithal shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? How are you going to do that? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or 10,000 of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression? If I gave everything I had, if I even gave my own children, would it be enough? He says, shall I give the fruit of my body for the sin of my
soul, that he has showed the old man what is good, and what the Lord doth require thee, but to do justly and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. God's not interested in the work of your hands as much as he is the position of your heart. True religion comes from within. Thy friend in your spirit, and communicate with God's spirit, not some work you can do with your hands. You can't work your way into heaven. You can't work your way into being right with God. Brother, if you got something real down the inside, it'll make you work. It'll work its way out. Amen. You can't work it in. That's God's territory. But you can work it out. Amen. Joel chapter 2, verse 12, 13, therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye unto me even with your whole heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning. Rend your heart, and not your garments, not the outward man, the inward man, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Verse 18, then will the Lord be jealous for his land, and pity his people. When we get genuine with God, then God will move amongst us. As long as we're playing religion, playing church, and playing games, we'll never have the anointing of God on us. Amen. The woe of counterfeit religion. God, help us. It's hot in here this morning. The woe of conceit. The woe of a conceit. And now listen to what the Scripture said in our text verses. In Isaiah chapter 5 and verse number 21. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. A woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and conceit. I know everything, can do everything. I've got the answers. Look at what I've done, can do, who I am, what I am. The truth is, you're nothing more than a handful of dust that God saw fit to breathe life into. And we have no cause for conceit. Isaiah 28:1 said, woe to the crown of pride. Pride goeth before destruction, and the Holy Spirit before a fall. That's the broken heart and the contrite spirit that God will not despise. Humble yourself, therefore, in the mighty hand of God, and he shall exalt you in a due time. Brother, my friend, there is judgment for conceit and for pride. You better walk humbly before the Lord. Ain't nobody in here anybody special. No. I don't want to hear about your preaching granddaddy, praying grandma and all that stuff. I'm just saying, I don't want to hear it as a method of how you're going to be saved. That's what I'm saying. Don't tell me how that makes you righteous, how that makes you... Hey, that doesn't put... None of that come over to you. Matter of fact, truth be known, your grandmother and your granddaddy is just as full of the devil as what you are. Outside of the Lord, he is him. Amen, that's right. We're all an unclean thing. If the Apostle Paul said that every time I try to do evil, good evil spreads with me, and that I don't have the will to do good, if he said I can't seem to do right no matter how hard I try, then what in the world makes you and me think that we've got it all figured out? Amen. The woe of conceit. Now we'll talk about the woe of the call. I told you we're going to move in a hurry, so you had to listen fast and preach fast. Amen. The woe of the call. Verse number 20 of our text verse. And our text chapter in Isaiah 5 and verse 20. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put the darkness for light, light for darkness, but bitter for sweet, and sweet for bitter. They call evil good and good evil. Today's culture has come to a place where we have glorified the militant gays and the feminists and the atheists while demonizing old-time Christians. I'm telling you, we've come to the place where everything's all right as long as you don't say anything's not all right. There's a kind of shame on the verse of Scripture that most of the world knows. They quote wrong and they say, thou shalt not dash, preacher. And that's not even in the Bible. Trust not, lest thou not be said, lest also be judged. For which judgment you meet, ask, shall be returned to you again. In other words, sleep around your own door before you go to deal with everybody else. First, take a look at your neighbor, spotting a mood in his eye, and there's a beam in your own eye. Don't you be criticizing others for doing what you're guilty of. Get yourself straightened out. But then it's high time that judgment begin at the house of God. It's high time we call sin, sin, and ungodliness, ungodliness, and named out the devil's sins, and pointed out the woes of the Scripture. Amen. That's right. We're living in a day where preachers is glad to preach on sin.
That's right. They'll tell you sin's wrong, it's bad, and it's wicked, and you ought to quit it. And everybody say, hallelujah, preacher! Amen! When they leave out of there, get in their car, light up their cigarette, go home, go half naked, drink their liquor, and say, man, I'm glad we got a preacher who tells us the truth.
Oh, yeah. I love it.
Amen. Well, I tell you, thank God for a fire-breathing preacher.
Amen.
He told them, now, don't y'all sin. Y'all be good boys and girls. And they went home, did everything they've been doing, and said, you know what, preacher's right. I'm glad I ain't in that sin like everybody else is.
Yeah.
Amen. Because he told them in general, y'all quit sinning, but he never would tell them what it was to sin. You see, drunkenness ain't a sin no more, y'all, as long as you don't get too bad off. And ain't nobody knows what too bad off is. And so you just sort of make up your own rules as you go along. And if you don't feel bad about it, see, it must be okay. And I'm telling you, that ain't what the Word of God teaches. I mean, friends, sin, it's time we come to name sin. And to call evil, evil, and good, good. And God, Lord, is right. Amen. It's time we call out. It's time we call out that false doctrine crowd. Amen. It's time we call out that bunch that brings the hippies in with their mop heads and trying to sing our young people wild and crazy and using push it off as if it was Christian. There is nothing Christian about a bunch of mop heads that comes in on a diesel bus and sings songs that move your hips and does not touch your heart, that wouldn't give a nickel to see an ant eat a bale of hay at their local church and never goes to support the preacher, and my friend sucked cigarettes on the front porch of the church. I hadn't got a dime for that crowd.
Yeah.
It's time we called that bunch out.
Yes, sir.
That's right. Get up with the earrings and the head banging and the purple hair and they're singing on them guitars and the beating floors and all that stuff. And want to act like that's Christian. That is not Christian. A stripes down their back and stripes in their head. Amen, my God, heaven help us. That's not Christian, friend. Grab hold of that microphone, sing into it like it's making love to a microphone, and I don't have no idea what they're talking about. It's a disgrace. Lewd, dressed half naked. You've seen it. You've seen it. You don't look at me like I'm crazy. You've seen it. If you've ever watched the news, watched 15 minutes of TV, or seen a billboard on the side of the road, then you've seen what I'm talking about. This modern-day music movement, hair sticking up every direction. It takes them 3 hours to make their hair poke up like that. And when I was a kid, my great-grandma used to tell me that folks whose hair poked up like that was crazy. That's right. And to my friend, I've never seen such a generation of punks acting out there trying to spread the gospel.
Amen.
Guy Penrod and all the rest of that bunch with the long trench coats and the hair down to the rear end. Under God is wicked, and they ought to get right with God.
Amen.
Don't tell me how saved they are and how filled with the Holy Ghost. I don't buy them any of that. Does not even nature teach it the shame to a man to have long hair? That's what the King James Bible says.
Amen.
And listen, that's the reason why that old Bessie and her britches can feel comfortable going down there to the singing, raise both of her hands, scream bloody murder, go nuts, and act like she's full of the Holy Ghost. And my friend, it's because there's no conviction and no spirit and no power and no truth in what they're doing.
Amen.
Now listen.
Yeah.
You're looking at the preacher loves music.
Yeah.
I do. I love it. Man, songs like we sang this morning, oh, the glory did roll. Woo-wee. I'm blessed. My Lord in heaven, that gets my tractor cranked up. But I'm going to tell you, I hadn't got a thing in the world for this worldly mess that tries everything they can to stir the physical emotion and not in the flesh and act like it's a dealing with the Spirit. You don't get people saved and working on their flesh. You get people saved by preaching to their hearts, singing to the conditioned man's heart for the preached Word of God. That's the reason why some of them glad to go to a singing, but they would never go to a preaching. Ain't that right? I've had someone say, preacher, you mean y'all don't never have a church service that you don't have preaching? I say, sure we do. Sometimes it breaks loose. Folks shout all over the house. People come to the altar and get saved. People testify and wash feet. I just go crazy and run the aisles. They said, no, I mean you don't never have just a singing. I asked them this question. You mean to tell me y'all don't never just have just a preaching? Amen. I mean, friend, they always want to have just a singing. Where's just a preaching?
That's why when they sing the song, they're always sing it again. I never have preached a sermon, Brother Jeff. Have folks that sat back there when it got done and say, preach it again. You know why? Because of flesh. I said motivation. And my friend, Satan done right can be a blessing. But if it's filled with flesh, it is a curse unto us. It's time we call evil, evil, and good, good, and quit reversing the roles. Amen. If little fellow's making you feel good all the time about doing wrong, is not good. That's right. Pat you on the back, tell you everything's going to be all right. That's not good. It's evil. Even the devil's turned his angels. Yeah, even the devil's turned his ministers into angels. What? That's right. Leading captive silly women, laden with sins, what the Scripture said, isn't that right? They preached heresies of hell, doctrines of devils. Amen. They told you all, if you just have faith, you wouldn't have no problems in your life. Everything's going to be all right. You won't have no trouble with their lies. Lord, they're of their father, the devil, who is a liar from the beginning and abides not in the truth. For Jesus said, in this life tribulation, you shall have some. You're going to have your share. You think you're going to live in this world and not have no trouble? You ain't read the right Bible. Of course, that's a problem with a lot of them that's preaching that doctrine. They're taking what they got out of the wrong Bible. Amen. It's time we preach on that, too. We could just finish a sermon right here and just preach on all that stuff, couldn't we? Amen. I'm telling you, friend, we're living in a generation that calls evil good and good evil. Amen. Amen. That's exactly right. And we'll get mad at the devil, at the preacher, for talking about things like that. But you'll go home and turn on the television and 40 acres of hell called HBO and run that pipe, that mess in your house. And they'll curse God and everything else. And you'll sit there and laugh at him, think it's entertainment. And if the man of God says anything that's a little bit coarse, you'll say, you know, he's a good man. But he just gets too hard sometimes. I tell you, we've come to a day where we call evil good and good. Amen. Woe of the tall. Right now, my friend, I want to hear this. Woe of consumption. Chapter 5 again, verse number 11. Woe to them that rise up early in the morning and may follow a strong drink that continue until night till wine inflame them. Verse number 22. Woe to them that are mighty to drink wine and men to drink strength and to mingle strong to drink. Isaiah 28, 1 said, woe to the crown of pride, to the drunkards of Ephraim, whose glorious beauty is a fading flower which on the head of the fat fatters of them that overcome with wine. And my friend, the wine drinkers, the wine givers, those that take a strong drink, are under the judgment of time. I'm telling you, friend, how the Bible said, he that loveth wine shall not be rich. In other words, it'll strip you of everything you've got. I'm telling you, the drunkenness and the liquor crowd of my generation is as it has always been, under the judgment of time. I don't care what preacher does it. I don't care what church says, it's all right. It's always been uncomely. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. He that receives their fire is not wise. Who hath woe, who hath contention, who hath pavements, who hath redness of eyes. He that tarries long at the wine. They that go to seek mixed wine. He that looks after the wine when it's red, when it giveth its color in the cup. He said, don't even look upon it then. He said, God, shall behold strange women, and thy lips shall utter perverse things. I tell you, it's ungodly. Always has been and always shall be. Ungodly is found in that bottle. Amen. Amen. I'm going to tell you something else. It's not only a sin to drink it, it's a sin to participate in the other folks who drank it. Not only is it a sin for you to drink it, it's a sin for you to participate in other folks drinking it. Habakkuk 2 and 15. Woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink, that putteth his bottle to him, and maketh him drunken also. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If I go down to the ball game, they start to pass the beer down the aisle, they just have to skip over me is all I know. I ain't touching it. That's right. Somebody said, that's rude. I don't give a rip what you think about that. I ain't touching it. That's right. I'm not going to be responsible for delivering that liquor to him. Hey, somebody said, preach this just a child. driving that beer truck. It pays good money. I'm not drinking. I'm just driving it fast. Woe be unto him that puts the bottle to his brother's mouth. I'm not delivering it. I'm passing it down. I'm not selling it, friend. Amen. That's right. So, I tell you, it's sin to participate in the drunkenness of another. Amen. Don't look at me like that. You know I'm preaching the truth. That's right. Well, preacher, it's just a job waiting on tables down at Pizza Hut. Yeah, it might be, but you're delivering all that beer to them folks. And woe be to the man that delivers that beer that puts that bottle to his brother's mouth. Brother, I mean, I'm telling you, somebody said, I got to make a living, preacher, some way or another. I know that. I sure do. I also know that my God will supply your need according to the riches of glory by Christ Jesus. I mean, get out of the liquor business, friend. Get out of the liquor business. You notice why he did this? That woe be to him, give him the name to drink, put it bottle to him, making them drunk. And also, why does he do it? That thou mayest look upon their nakedness. Nakedness and liquor and drunkenness always goes together. That's the reason why they got the naked women on all the commercials and the billboards and the magazines and such. It's because nakedness and drunkenness always goes together. Talked to a man here recently, said that spent a lot of time in depression, upset, and frustrated. He said, it's just a miracle from God. He said, I can't tell you the time I sat on the porch and the thought about going down into Buckhannon and buying me a bottle of liquor and just down there. He said, just a miracle from God that I didn't do it. I'm so glad today that I didn't. Now that I'm saved and birthed his family in God, I'm so glad that I didn't do that. Brother, I'm going to tell you, that liquor will destroy you. The devil loves to get you involved in that mess. Warp your mind so it's impossible for you to receive the truths of the gospel and be saved. And I defined you somewhere or another with a bottle in your pocket hanging from you, and you're hanging by a rope from your neck. Maybe scattered up and down the highways where you took off in a car in a drunken stupor. They love to find your family where your children barefoot and your wife be there because of your drunken ways. Why is the mocker? I'll make a mockery out of you.
You better stay away from liquor. I'm going to tell you how to avoid drunkenness. I'm going to tell you one thing you've got to do to avoid drunkenness. Never take the first drink. That's right. That's right.
Woe of consumption. Let me give you another here. The woe of counsel. Isaiah chapter 30, verse number 1. Woe be to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that taketh counsel, but not of me. They cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they might add sin to sin. He said they go down into Egypt, crush to the strength of Pharaoh, but the strength of Pharaoh will be their shame. You know what they're doing? They come to a place where they think more of what the world says and what the devil says, and the world's crowd and advises, than what they do what the Word of God teaches. Amen? They've read more books from Dr. Spock and Dr. Phil and all the rest of these doctors in our generation on how to raise their children than what they have the Word of God. Amen? More interested in these liberals that don't even have a King James Bible. I look like Carl Stanley and Sucky Boy Swindoll and all the rest of the TBN crowd and what they are, the man of God at the local church. And I'm going to tell you, if you want to find answers, I seek advice and seek structure and seek answers in the Word of God. Run about from one to another, seeking and fast. I want to ask your opinion. I want to ask your opinion all the while. All you're doing is sowing discord. I mean, when in truth and in help and unity can be found in the Word of God and in prayer. My God, help us to seek the face of the Lord and the advice of the Scriptures and not, my friend, the counsel of the world.
Grandma said, and Papa said, and this and said, and the man down the road or up the road said, but there's answers in the Word of God.
You can trust them, Brother Thompson. You can trust what the Bible said. It's right. I may make a mistake, but this Bible's right.
Amen. Well, I'm thankful for the old time Christians that's helped me along the way and taught me some things. But if they've ever taught me anything right, it's come out of the Bible.
Amen. It ain't just cause it's their opinion. I mean, I had old preachers tell me some stuff a lot of times. Wasn't right. I had one tell me one time when I couldn't decide what to do about something. He said, well, preacher, I want to tell you. He said, I found that if you'll just do something and mean it well, that God will honor. And I said, oh, no, I got better sense to know that. I mean, I'm supposed to wait on the Lord. And then he'll renew my strength and give me wings as eagles running, not be weary, walking on faith. My Lord, the Word of God teaches me better than that. And friend, you better follow God's Word.
Woe of counsel. Let me give you the woe of countenance. Isaiah chapter 3. My pages are stuck together with sweat. Isaiah chapter number 3, verse number 9. The show of their countenance does witness against them. They declare their sin as Sodom. They hide it not. Woe unto their soul. For they have rewarded evil unto themselves.
Jeremiah 6 and 15 says, were they ashamed when they committed abomination? Nay, they were not ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall at the time that I visit them. They shall be cast down, saith the Lord. He's talking about a people that parade their sins and proudly proclaim their sins and gladly let folks know what they're in, and unashamedly and unabashedly and without remorse they continue in their wickedness. They march down the street with the men with their lipsticks on and I've got wicked clothes and such, and holding hands one with another and declare their sin and Sodom. It's under the judgment of God, I'm telling you. Amen.
There was a day when men sinned and were ashamed of it, but today they don't even blush. It's a mark of dignity. It's a mark of some sort of honor to be in sin. God help us.
Used to be fellows that get tattoos in places nobody could see. Now they shave the top of their heads and have the whole thing tattooed. They declare their sin in Sodom and they hide it not. Amen. You say, I done got a tattoo. I can't help what you done got. But you can help what you're going to get. Amen. And today's day, quit that mess. I'm telling you, it ain't never been scriptural. The markings in the body is a sign of heathenism, according to Scripture. Amen. Studs through your nose and your tongue and your eyebrows and all that mess. Man, you got to be crazy. Can you imagine trying to eat with a hole in your tongue? Under God, you're out of your mind. I mean, get that thing out of there and pray to God that it grows upright. Amen.
That's right. Woe of countenance to do it without being ashamed. Somebody said to just do it to get attention. That's the wrong kind of attention. You've got a real problem down the inside if you want to get that kind of attention.
Amen. Woe of countenance. They were not ashamed. Now I'm going to talk about the woe of confession. I'm finishing up. Don't get too scared. I'm finishing up. The woe of confession. Listen to what the Scripture said. 1 Corinthians, or rather in Isaiah chapter number 6 and verse number 5. Listen to what Isaiah said. He saw the Lord high and lifted up. And then said out, woe is me, for I am undone because I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. He said, woe is me. Until you come to the woe of confession. Until you understand you're under judgment. Until you see yourself lost. Condemned and on your way to hell. You'll never get right with God. You'll never get saved. But this morning we preach on sin. And we preach on woe. And we preach on judgment. So you'll see yourself headed to hell. But the mouth of hell enlarges itself. Say as I say a pen. With hands raised, woe is me. I'm undone. I'm in trouble. I'm tired of hell. I'm tired of God. God's got to do something because I can't help myself. Brother, when you get there, then you can get right with God. And that's what I've been trying to get you through this morning.
Woe is me. As long as you're defending your sin, justifying your sin, and my sin covering up your sinful nature, you cannot see yourself as unholy and God is holy, and you'll never be where you need to be for God. Woe is me. Christians, saint of God, you that's been born again, don't you see yourself as good and righteous and holy and just right? But rather you need to say, woe is me. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I understand the wickedness of my flesh and the naughtiness of my heart. Woe is me. I got to have help from the Lord. Outside of God, I'm in trouble. Woe is me. It's time we confess our sins, confess our weaknesses, confess our faults, confess our frailties. Understand God's the only one can help. Woe is me. Amen. Oh, God, help us. When He said, woe is me, that's when they started flying over to the altar where the sacrifice had been given, getting them tongs. Pulling coals of fire off the altar. Coal of fire is the judgment of God, but the altar is a place where He'd been done and shed blood. See, all the judgment had been put on the lamb that's slain. And then when the coal tempered with the blood of Christ touches His eyelids, it makes us clean. See, if you'll confess your sin, He's faithful and just to forgive you your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. But until you're willing to confess, admit your guilt, understand your wrongdoing,
beg God to change you, you'll never be any different than you are today. But if you want to be changed, God will change you. But when you come to that woe of confession, woe is me. Oh God, I'm going to give you a couple more and I'm closing my way. Woe of commission. Woe of commission. 1 Corinthians 9 and 16. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Sometimes, Brother Jeff, it gets hard for me to do all the things I think the Lord wants me to do and that I know my family needs me to do and all those kind of things. And I feel like I'm balancing and juggling more than I can. And it's time to think to myself, well, Lord, let me expect somebody to do all the things I'm trying to do and I can't do them all well. And the best thing I can do is slow down. I'll cut out this and I'll cut out that. And then I'll surrender this and I'll stop that. And then I find myself reminded in this scripture, woe be unto me if I don't preach the gospel. And I'm reminded, my friend, that I've got a commission to carry out. Not just as a preacher, but as a believer, my friend, to carry the gospel. As for the meal be preached, the tapes back on the table, carry it to the chariot, to spread it to the world, to tell others what it is to be saved, and the importance of knowing God. I'm telling you, you've got a responsibility as a child of God to tell others how important it is, and to get their heart right with the Lord. Oh, God, help me. I know God's judgment will be on me if I didn't preach the gospel. But I want to tell you something else. He's gracious. He doesn't just keep me going with the threats of woe, but He sends my way all the encouragement that I need in order to keep on going when I think about quitting. Amen. It's one thing to say, you preacher, I'm going to get you. You do right, I'm going to get you. I'm going to guide you. But He's also gracious. And when I get to where I feel like quitting, He reminds me, you better preach or I'm going to judge you. And then right in behind it, He sends me a little honey out of the honeycomb and says, son, it's sweeter on down the road. Just keep serving me. Hallelujah. It'll be worth every mile, worth every child. Just keep living for God. Amen. Well, I'm going to feel like having a fit if I want to slam more out. I thank God I'm saved. I've got a commission to carry out, and so do you. There is then the woe of confusion in Job 10 and 15. Job said, if I be wicked, woe unto me. And if I be righteous, yet will I not lift up my head. I'm full of confusion. Therefore, see thou mine affliction. You see, the friends of Job were misleading preachers with a confusing message. If I come in here this morning and preach to you mixed messages and try to tell you what you want to hear and what you think's right instead of what's true, then I preach confusion and there'd be woe unto me. Jeremiah chapter 23 and 1, woe be unto the pastures destroyed and scattered the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Ezekiel 13:3, thus saith the Lord God, woe to the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. Ezekiel 34:2, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel, prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, the shepherds, woe be the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? It's our job to get you the truth, friend. Not my job to help you like it. It's my job to get it to you. Amen. If you ever really get right with God, you'll like it. Because it'll show you how to live in victory instead of defeat. Amen. I'm closing with the woe of comfort now. The woe of comfort. Amos 6 and 1. Woe to them that are at ease in Zion. The woe of comfort. Woe to them that are at ease in Zion. You know who's in the most trouble this morning? You are. You know who's in the most trouble? You are. If you're here this morning and you're sitting there on the pews and you've heard the preaching and you've heard so much of this kind of preaching and so much of the preaching of the truth and so much of the preaching of the judgment of God that you can sit in this morning's sermon and it never bother you and your heart never get troubled and your soul never gets stirred and you're sitting at ease in Zion, you're under the judgment of the Lord. You're comfortable hearing preaching on sin. You've heard that before. And you've got hard-hearted to it. Brother, you're sitting on the brink of woe. On the brink of judgment. Many are comfortable just like they are. Satisfied to grow no longer. They've taken it for granted. They'll always be here an old-time church with power. They've not come to appreciate the rarity of this old-time way. And it is time to ease your disturbed. My friend, it's time your ease is disturbed. It's time your interest is piqued. It's time your heart is burdened. It's time your interest rises above your own interest to the aspirations of the perfect will of God for your life. It's time riding your ride from your comfortable place of the preacher feeding you and doing for you to you seeking to serve others. If you're at ease inside, you're on the brink of woe. And today, right now, as this invitation song is sung, now is the time to move, and now is the time to act, and now is the time to deal with God before my friend, our children have to see and deal with a generation point completely of the old time way. It's up to us. It's up to you and it's up to me. It's time we get stirred about preserving what God wants here at this church for our children, for our grandchildren, that they might know the God of heaven and the power of the demonstration of the Holy Ghost. Many will come. They will come then to our loving Savior, who's also a God of woe. Would you serve Him in holiness or be judged of Him in indignation? It's your choice this morning. How are you going to deal with the Savior? Would you come with a song? You need to come pray. I wish you'd come today and do business with the Lord. Stand with us, please. I've tried to preach to you the truth of what God's laid on my heart as the honest thing, as plainly and simply as I know how. And I hope now that you'll take this morning the message and put it alive in your heart. Brother, if we go home this afternoon and say that preacher's right, this world's under the judgment of God. That's true. But if that's all you get out of what I preach, you've missed 90% of it. I'm more concerned about the judgment that's beginning at the house of God amongst us. What about your family? Where's the family altar down at your house? Amen. Where's the Bible reading, prayer time down at your house? Where's your personal devotion? What about living clean in your life? What about the good and the evil down at your place? You call it good evil and evil good? I mean, quit worrying this morning about the White House and start thinking about your house. Amen. What about God's house? What about here? You come in this morning at ease and Zion, you just kind of went through the motions, sang the songs. Just sang the songs, you know. Preacher asked you to stand, you stand. He said you can sit, and when the service is done, you'll go home and eat lunch and say, well, you know, that wasn't as good a meeting as what we have, Zane. And all the while, it's because you're at ease and Zion. Where's your whole heart thrown into it? I tell you, it's time that judgment begins at the house of God with you and with me. We need to deal with the Lord. Woe is me. Saint, if you will, you need to come.
Children are scattered all over our land.
Woe is me, Mom, I'm done.
We've lost our love for our fellow man.
I can't do it on my own. I need help from God.
Fathers and mothers are parted today. There's dust on the altar where we used to pray. Let's sink down the old path and walk therein. Our children are crying and dying in vain. Oh, Satan is laughing as God's people stray. There's dust on the altar where we used to pray. Tears that were once shed for a brother in need, they're now called old-fashioned and no longer seen. Greed and proud hearts have gotten in the way. There's dust on the altar where we used to pray. Let's seek out the old path and walk therein. Our children are crying and dying in sin. Satan is laughing as God's people stray. There's dust on the altar where we used to